everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to be with you today. We begin our program with the latest on health and healing. And there's a study from Louisiana State University talks about eating blueberries could regulate genetic and biochemical drivers of depression and suicide. Well, this is certainly important because we have an awful lot of depressed people in the United States, and we have even more people, unfortunately, who are seeking out just a medical approach, which is a drug, and unfortunately, that has never been shown to cure anyone and has very serious side effects. So in a series of studies in a laboratory, researchers have found that eating blueberries could help to reduce the genetic and biochemical drivers behind depression and other disorders. And so it's simple to investigate the biological factors that might contribute to post-traumatic stress disorder and its effects. They put all this work into seeing what will make a difference. And lo and behold, the blueberries made a difference. So this is good news, especially for those suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. And I recommend, as I did last week, also dealing with blueberries, taking a pint of blueberries minimally and either eating them in a, you know, in a bowl, or maybe throw them into a smoothie, even juicing them. No matter how you get into your body, it'll help. A separate study from Tufts University and Harvard University looked at a meta-analysis, meaning they looked at a lot of different studies, and once again they found that the omega-3 fatty acids are very important for a child's brain development. And a lot of people don't think about this. There were 15 meta-analyses. These were randomized controlled trials. That's the gold standard of science. And they found that give your children the omega-3 fatty acids on a daily basis. It can make a difference. You don't need to do a lot, but you got to get it in. In fact, they identified 15 trials with 2,525 children. And then the interventions were the omega-3 fatty acids during pregnancy and also for infant supplementation. And they did this for 7 months. And they said cognitive measures were taken around 16 months. And the results showed that both maternal and infant supplementation similarly improved neurodevelopment. So if you want to have a child that has a chance in life of developing their neurological systems, their brain, the central nervous system, take the omega-3 fatty acids. Now, from the University of Michigan comes another study about when they took individuals with post-traumatic stress disorder and they did the MRIs, they found that the brain changes would happen when people were engaged in mindful training. Mindfulness meditation is very important. It's easy to do. It's not difficult. It just takes discipline. But what they found was veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder show promise with mindfulness training for enhancing the ability to manage those thoughts that come up that get them stuck in a negative mindset, revisiting the trauma that they experienced directly or indirectly in different situations, for example, and more. But even more surprising, it actually shows the veterans' brains changed in ways that may help them get to their own on and off switch so they're not in an endless loop. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal Depression and Anxiety from a team from the University of Michigan Medical School and the VA Ann Arbor healthcare system. So something simple. Now, let's go back to 1985 at the Tri-State Healing Center on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, first at 84th and Riverside Drive in a brownstone that I had, and then outgrew that, so we went down to 72nd Street for much larger space, 72nd and Broadway, where for a long time. Some of the first people coming in were vets who had been in conflict in the Middle East, in Iraq. And what would happen is when you're speaking with them, and we had two leading psychologists, one from the Albert Ellis Center, Dr. Donald Mullins, who was a personal close friend, and Dr. Elaine Kahn, from Columbia University, again, a personal close friend, and they would do extensive interviews, and I sat in on the interviews. I wanted to see what their approach was, and they found that what really upset the vets is they couldn't stop the repeating loops. The thought kept coming back over and over and over again. So the best therapy they had was regressive hypnosis, putting them under hypnosis, having them go back to the trauma time, the exact moment, what it was, and instead of seeing the outcome as it had been, and it had been replayed thousands or hundreds of thousands of times over in their brains, all leading to extreme anxiety, and therefore adversely affecting their health, their immune system, keeping them in constant hyper alert. And that's something people don't understand. A person that's been in the battlefield, a person that every step may be stepping on a landmine or a different type of explosive device or a sniper shooting them, they have to be constantly aware. And when you're in the field for periods of time and you've been on a tour for, let's say, 3 months or 6 months, tour of duty, you come home, you can't differentiate the environment, peaceful environment, non-hostile environment, even in your own family, from the battlefield. You can't just turn it off. And we don't have anything in our conditioning of vets to do that. Now imagine that. Just imagine for a moment. You first take a person into an environment, boot camp. And what is the purpose of boot camp? Reconditioning the person's psyche. Why? Well, person comes in with long hairs or any form of individualized behavior. That doesn't work. You know, you've got to work as a team. You have to be able to desensitize yourself to what you're about to do. Defend yourself or kill someone. And with that, the average person is going to have second thoughts. Well, I've never killed anyone. I don't want to kill anyone. Can't we get out of this otherwise? And then you get shot by the enemy. So the sergeant major is there to help you condition yourself and to be really hardened and disciplined in ways you wouldn't have been, and work as a team and taking commands. But what if you don't like to take commands? What if you're a person that, you know, you got authority problems? You don't like taking commands from your parents or school teachers, and then you're going to go into a place where your life and others depend upon taking commands. So that's the purpose of boot camp, and not everyone makes it through boot camp. A lot of people don't. They're sent home. They can't tough it out. Okay, that gets a person to at least where they have a chance in a conflict, and we're not even talking about the legitimacy of the context of which they're fighting in. There was no legitimacy of the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Afghanistan invasion, the Iraq invasion. There's no legitimacy to it. I'm not even talking about that, the bigger picture. I'm just talking about a person surviving who may not have looked at any of this except loyalty to their company or under conscription. They had no choice. They had to go. So here we have someone who goes in there, survives 1, 2, 3 times on that battlefield. What happens when they come home? You haven't decommissioned them. You haven't undone all of that psychic trauma you put them through. That's what the problem is, and no one in the entire government is willing to acknowledge this. That shows you how utterly, completely corrupt all of this is. Not the Pentagon, not the Veterans Administration, they just give them drugs, and the drugs can cause suicidal ideation or suicide as a result every 24 hours without you being aware of it. Somewhere in the United States, a GI, generally, more often than not, will put a gun in their mouth, just blow their brains out. That's over 160,000 who've taken their own lives. That's more than died in the First World War. Not a single interest in this by anyone, except for, of course, the families and those who were friends and loved these people. So you're starting to get the idea that maybe we're not as conscientious about what's important, saving people's lives. But what all about the people who don't kill themselves but are still victims? They're still alive. I've done 3 award-winning documentaries on their plight. I've helped them, but I'm only one person. That's not going to make a dent. just to give you that as a thought. Anyhow, what I've done is I started to give them mindful meditation while they were giving him regressive hypnosis to have them rechange the scene where there was no trauma, there was no death, there was no getting blown up, their Humvee blown up, their soldier friends beside them, their buddies getting blown up, none of that. Instead, they gave them a different outcome, and that made an enormous difference. So at the center, I took a room, a rather large room, that was going to be used as a vitamin drip room. And instead, I had a buddy of mine, very well-known painter in the United States. I said, can you make this into a tropical paradise? Yeah. And about a month later, it was a tropical paradise. We had live tropical plants, banana plants, and hanging ivies and palm trees. We had a water wall, a whole wall where water just cascaded down. We had a music of flute and meditation and thunderstorms, and we had relaxing, we had bamboo floor, and we had aromatherapy, and people would go in there 12 at a time, six on each side, and lay back in a reclining chair, and they just zoned out. And it was in that environment that we also had them learn mindful techniques, mindfulness, and that helped all of those who went in there for any reason, depression, anxiety, bipolar, and post-traumatic stress disorder, something that made a difference. Also, we find from the University of Laval in Quebec, published in Neurobiology of Aging, that a drop in your body temperature is linked to aging, aggravates manifestations of Alzheimer's disease. What do I mean? Okay, what I mean is this. The drop in body temperature is associated with aging could cause problems. This was a major study. It's just telling us more about the state of your body. Although the phenomena was demonstrated using transgenic mice, researchers believe that the findings are convincing enough to warrant further investigation. So what's it about? It's about your metabolism and the body temperature when it decreases as people get older. We therefore know that we, at least as a working hypothesis, that there is a body's thermoregulatory system that occurs with age and amplifies the main manifestations of Alzheimer's, and that a vicious circle can even set in because the disease expresses itself in certain areas of the brain involved in temperature regulation. And so what you should do is understand what causes your body's metabolism to be more functional, exercise. And what causes the body to be able to detoxify? Saunas. So what we need to do to help ameliorate some of the manifestations of aging, such as the production of beta amyloid plaque in the brain. So what do we know and how can we respond? Well, we know that Alzheimer's manifests because of inflammation. So we can go on anti-inflammatory diets. The fresh raw juices, anti-inflammatory. Vitamin C, vitamin E, beta-carotene. All these are, the antioxidants are anti-inflammatory. We can also do stretching and yoga, meditation, anti-inflammatory. There are certain supplements like the B-complex, which are also anti-inflammatory. But then exercise has to be at the top of the list because as you're exercising, you're affecting your thyroid gland and your axis, your pituitary axis, and your body temperature is going to come up while you're doing that. And that all this together can help diminish the formation of senile plaques in the brain known as beta amyloid plaques. And they are affected by the pathology that renders neurons non-functional. And those lose synaptic proteins. So just if you're sedentary, if you're not caring about your diet, if you're drinking alcohol in any amount, your body temperature is going to be lower. And that is not going to be good for you. And finally, research finds that wisdom is a matter of both heart and mind. University of Waterloo. The fluctuations of your heartbeat may affect your wisdom, according to a new research, University of Waterloo. What do I mean? This was published in Frontiers in Behavioral Neuroscience. That your heart rate variation and thinking process work together. to enable wise reasoning about complex social issues. So, wise reasoning means simple. Before you think about something or act on something or say something, go to neutral and try to use your cognitive ability and your more mindful state of being. Count to 10. And just what I do is I simply say to myself, slowly, in deep, relaxed breathing, calm. Calm yourself. Calm your mind. And once you get into that calm state, remember, by doing this, by changing your breathing and your heart rate rhythm and getting your heart rate in rhythm with your breathing, slow, diaphragmatic, then you can change states, alpha state, beta state, theta state, delta state. And the states that you're in can directly determine the type of perception you have, and therefore more wise decisions can be made. I'll do this in greater depth on a classroom on the air. We'll spend like a half hour explaining this greater depth. I'm simply saying, before you rush to judgment, before you yell or scream or argue, as people tend to do today more than I've ever seen in my life, that's not what's going to resolve any issues. That's not going to bring people together. And there's a growing consensus among philosophers and cognitive scientists that defines wise judgment to include the ability to recognize the limits of one's knowledge, and also realize we can be wrong, no matter how self-righteous we are in our beliefs. And wouldn't it be better if we say to someone that we have a difference of opinion, I don't quite understand what you're saying. Could you please explain it to me in a context with examples? And suddenly someone looks at you, and you're yelling over each other, and trying to demean each other, and trying to show that one of you is right and the other is wrong. We have a winner-take-all mindset today in much of our society. And what would happen if you suddenly said to someone in a calm voice, I'm sorry I don't understand everything you're saying. Could you say it in a way that I can better understand? I'm open to hearing what you have to say. Well, wow, that changes the energy exchange. Suddenly, it's no longer clashing in a duality. It is the possibility of harmonizing. So we have to understand we're all limited in our knowledge, and to be aware of the very context of life and how they may unfold over time, to acknowledge others' points of view. Look, I have little clips about Tucker Carlson. I'm having one coming up on tomorrow's program. I can disagree with Tucker Carlson, and I do, on many topics, on global warming and our capitalist society, but also, he is the only national form with a large audience, the largest in television and cable, that allows dissidents to come on and share their points of view. And that means something. What, are you going to close the door on that? So Glenn Greenwald and Max Blumenthal and Aaron Maté don't have a forum? Well, then how will we know, how would the majority of people know that there's two points of view? So we have to be more reasoned and to acknowledge that we should be open-minded. And there's a way of reconciling. The reconciliation of opposing viewpoints is necessary for us to work together, even if we have different ideologies. So that's it for today. You can always go to GaryNall.com to look at all the newest articles and documentaries and films. We're going to take a break and come right back to deal with a very important issue that is not being dealt with anywhere in the United States in a meaningful and constructive way. Please stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. Something new this week and next week. I'm taking a single theme per day and showing multiple clips and asking you, what do you make of this? Does this alter your perception? Did you know the problem existed, or did you know it existed at this level of certainty for the people who are suffering? If it does, it brings me back to something that I said last week and is going to be a part of all my discussions, my lectures to the anti-aging group coming up, and as well as the health nutrition, or just the people coming just to relax and detoxify in May at the retreat. We're not asking the right questions in order to come up with the right answers. even the questions we're allowed to ask are being prompted and put into our mindset and the general discussion by those in control. If you can control the questions, you can control the outcome. I'll give you an example. I'm going to read something right now from Margaret Anna Alice. This is a poem, and it's called Mistakes Were Not Made, an anthem for justice. Just so you understand, what this means is, yes, we did make mistakes, but they were not unintentional. They were very much intentional. Everything that they did was intentional. They had too many smart people who had too much access, abundant access. They knew the facts, and they chose to lie to us, hide the facts. There was no transparency about anything concerning COVID. But she's taking it to a larger view, and she is right. Here's what she has to say. Quote, "The Armenian genocide was not a mistake. Holodomor was not a mistake. The Final Solution was not a mistake. The Great Leap Forward was not a mistake. The killing fields were not a mistake. Name your genocide. It was not a mistake. That includes the great democide of the 2020s. To imply otherwise is to give them the out they are seeking. It was not botched. It was not bungled. It was not a blunder. It was not incompetence. It was not lack of knowledge. It was not spontaneous mass hysteria. The planning occurred in plain sight. The planning is still occurring in plain sight. The philanthropists sought science. They bought it. The modelers projected the lies. The testers concocted the crisis. The NGOs leased the academics. The scientists fabricated the findings. The mouthpieces spewed the talking points. The organizations declared the emergency. The government erected the walls. The departments rewrote the rules. The governors quashed the rights. The politicians passed the laws. The bankers installed the control grid. The stooges laundered the money. The Department of Defense placed the orders. The corporations fulfilled the contracts. The regulators approved the solution. The laws shielded the contractors. The agencies ignored the signals. The mamonists consolidated the media. The psychologists crafted the messaging. The propagandists chanted the slogans. The fact chokers smeared the dissidents. The censors silenced the questioners. The jackboots stomped the dissenters. The tyrants summoned. The puppeteers jerked. The puppets danced. The colluders implanted. The doctors ordered. The hospitals administered. The mendiciders scripted. The bamboozled depleted. The totalitarianized bullied. The COVIDians tattled. The parents surrendered. The good citizens believed and forgot. This was calculated. This was formulated. This was focus grouped. This was articulated. This was manufactured. This was falsified. This was coerced. This was inflicted. This was denied. We were terrorized. We were isolated. We were gaslit. We were dehumanized. We were wounded. We were killed. Don't let them get away with it. Don't let them get away with it. Don't let them get away with it." End quote. And you see, she is absolutely correct, because what happened was they put an article, not by accident, that never happens in New Yorker, certainly never by accident, where they were talking about, well, let's just have a forgiveness of everything. Let's get beyond this. Lessons learned, let's go forward. No, this was not an intentional. This was not an accident. Everything that we went through with COVID was intentional. The cover-ups, everything. And now we have deconstructed the entire facade, the whole lie. We have the articles from the Chinese Defense Department doing work paid for by America, by Anthony Fauci, funneling money through outside sources so it didn't appear in the United States. All of this was intentional. They weaponized a virus. You do not do that unless you intend to cause harm and use it. You think that's not the case? Well, how about this? And you'll see why this is important in a moment. This just came in today. This is from Epoch Times. The disruptive military technologies that the Pentagon is spending nearly $150 billion on, quote, President Joe Biden's $886 billion fiscal 2024 defense budget request includes $145 billion for research and development and emerging technologies to create new, listen carefully, everyone, listen carefully, new weapon systems using artificial intelligence, hypersonic munitions, and electromagnetic swarms. The Department of Defense and its subsidiary military branch, technology laboratories, working in tandem with universities and high-tech contractors that increasingly include small businesses, have produced such big-ticket splashes as newly deployed directed energy weapons systems and hypersonic ballistic sensors. Among prospective products and systems calling for funding is the rocket cargo transport that can move 100 tons of cargo anywhere on Earth within an hour, a counter-swarm electromagnetic weapon that can disable drones and be powered from a wall plug, a rotating detonation engine without moving parts to pop up hide that can make Marines disappear in plain sight, and a predictive vehicle activity for identification and location programs that, quote, will bring a novel approach to automated target detection and recognition. And you think they're not going to use this on us? They already have. Or didn't you remember MKUltra, the beginning of it, and the Tuskegee experiment, the continuation of it, and using prisoners, mainly African-American prisoners, to test all their new drugs on? No. No, this is it. I'm giving that just as an example. This is not fiction. This is not conspiracy theory. But you say, but we have intelligent people, Gary, working in universities. Yes, we do. Quite a few. And then we have a lot of cowards among those. In fact, the majority are cowards. But maybe I'm wrong. Show me I'm wrong. Because if you were posed to face an issue such as you will teach the courses we tell you to teach, the curriculum without question, how we want it taught, and you will do so or you will be fired. Where's the last national protest or march by professors against that teaching? There has not been one. Oh, when you want to pay less money, yeah, Rutgers University will go on strike. But where is there a strike against the curriculum, which has been perverse in so many courses? Doesn't exist. When students have more power than their professor, when one of the most distinguished professors of behavioral science in the United States says he will no longer use humor in his class for fear of offending someone, no longer bring in a guest lecture for fear of offending someone, no longer show a film for fear of offending someone, then why are you teaching at all? Why not just quit? Find another profession where you're not a coward anymore. A smart person, yes. Some of the best lectures I've ever heard, absolutely. And now, in my opinion, allowing the negative side or the dark side of his being, his insecurity, to dictate that he is nothing more than a willing pawn in how things should be taught. Let me just give you one example of this. This is today. This is real. This is from the Telegraph, from Ewan Somerville. Quote, university blocks, that means censors, academic, meaning a professor, from her own gender wars research over, quote, dangerous data. Quote, a university has confiscated, that means stolen, the findings of an academic studying Britain gender wars in a row over her, quote, dangerous research data. Dr. Laura Favero began the first ever taxpayer-funded study into whether social scientists at universities feel censored over their views on transgender issues in March 2020 at University of London, but it has descended into chaos, with the study's author allegedly hounded out of the university, stripped of the findings she collected, and barred from publishing them, and claims of transphobia. The doctor is now bringing an employment tribunal claim against the city for harassment, victimization, and whistleblowing detriment, and claims she was discriminated against for her protected philosophical belief in the reality of biological sex. The researcher was invited to move from Spain to the Department of Sociology to conduct the study, and She collected hundreds of documents, interviewed hundreds upon hundreds of individuals, and then when her information was shown to be about to be published, someone says, well, that doesn't support our point of view. As a result, they destroyed the whole thing and her in the process. This is everywhere in every university that I'm aware of, because no one's allowing anything but their truth to get out. So even when you thought there was a chance for truth to get out on something, it's killed. So here's what I believe that we should be paying attention to. I'd like to see if you agree or disagree before we go to our clips. Remember I said, if you ask, and I do this with all my lectures, by the way, I say, do you believe in the rights of women for equal pay? Yes, of course. And who wouldn't, right? And equal opportunity, yes. So you would not want to see women exploited for your benefit. Absolutely not, everyone says. Okay. Take a look at the tag at the back of your dress or suit or coat or shirt. Where was it made? I don't know. Take a look. Oh, Bangladesh. Oh, China. Oh, India. I see. 14 to 28 cents an hour, working 12-hour days, having the shortest life expectancy of any of the workers in that field. So you care about women, but not enough to see whether or not something you're wearing is a direct link to them, meaning without you, listen carefully what I'm saying. I don't want to be misunderstood. Without you being intentionally negligent, it's by intent. It's not accident, because what you want to know, you damn well find out about. But now we don't care about women. Oh, unless it's our mother, sister, aunt, and uncle, or daughter. Do you care about children? Of course we care about children, Gary. Don't be stupid. I'm just asking. I know you care about your children, hopefully. Unless you're a professional, then there's another question. I got a big-ass question coming for the professionals, the lawyers, doctors, engineers, because in my opinion, you're the worst people to ever have children. You shouldn't be having children unless you first go through the sacrifice to show that you deserve to have a sacred child in your life, because you made everything else, including your career, your advancement, your personal possessions, more important than having a child, because the child ends up today without any capability of dealing with real people in the real world because what you neglected, your time and insight. You think a child's going to grow up on their own, learning the real aspects of life and discipline and boundaries, manners, morals, ethics on their own? No way. But that wasn't important to you. Getting ahead was. And you did. You succeeded. You got ahead and you destroyed something. Remember what I said. It is not humanly possible to succeed without being out of balance, because for everything you gain, you're going to lose something proportional or even greater proportion. Your relationships, your friendships, your health, your mental acuity. What do you give up to get ahead? How about asking that question? Remember, if we don't ask the right question, we can't have the right answer. So that said, here's what I consider the checklist that you should have about your real rights and freedoms, because don't tell me what you believe unless you're willing to show me by what you do. I'm going to judge you by what you do. You should judge me by what I do. So if I say I care about vets, I'll show you the truck I bought. I'll show you the money I've given. I'll show you the meals I've given. I'll show you the effort I've made to try to help those homeless vets. The three documentaries I made. I'll show you that. If I say I care about the homeless, I'll show you the 511 people I've taken in my homes that I never have mentioned. And I'm only doing now as an example that if you tell me something, show me something. I'm sick and tired of everyone being hypocrites, because maybe Singer was right. I do not believe, and I will totally disagree, that because the average person is evil, I do not believe that. But I do believe the average person is extremely selfish. I believe that people are self-centered. I believe that people don't care about women, don't care about children, don't care about peace, don't care about healthy foods, don't care about anything except what's immediately in their frame of reference, which means then they're disconnected from any possible solution, because the world is smarter than you and they're watching what you won't do, and when you won't speak for yourself, when you won't defend yourself, even when death is the outcome of not defending yourself or making the right choices, they say, we've got an easy, pliable, convenient market. There's no protests against the wars. There's no protests against corrupt, evil presidents, all of which have been evil. There's no pretexting anything. I see. So, how about this? How about a widely recognized human rights activist worldwide that there are certain human rights, as well as human beings who make up communities, tribes, and nations, and you should have, in my opinion, you should have the right to freedom of thought, freedom of conscience, freedom of religious beliefs, freedom for healthy food, not as a privilege of wealth, because you can say, well, everybody can buy the food they want. No, I'll take you into ghettos all across the United States where there's not a health food store or farmer's market. The food they have in plentiful amounts is junk food leading to disease. So that's a matter of class. Oh, I see you're in a different class. I believe you should have safe shelter as a right to be free from poverty. Poverty is an artificial construct. It does not come in a civilized society where people are truly spiritual. Don't tell me about your religion. I care about, are you spiritual as a part of a religious belief? Are you just going through the rituals like so many other people and don't care when you walk out of the cathedral, the church, the synagogue about what's really happening outside of your tribe? Are you interconnected or not completely disconnected? I believe that not only should you be free from poverty that is created by the dynamics of ruling socioeconomic class or group or ideology or healthcare, I believe education should be a free for primary and obstacle-free access to higher education based upon merit and not privilege. If you don't want to go to college, don't go. Show you deserve the opportunities you've been given. We should have necessary social services for the disabled, those fallen through the social and economic cracks. We should have freedom to work and favorable, healthy conditions to work, including equal pay. We should have the right of expression, such as the right to seek, receive, and impart information and ideas to all people who are willing to listen. We should have the right to participate in our government, either directly, as in tribal cultures, or through chosen representatives who should be accountable specifically to those who chose them. We should have freedom from torture, cruel and inhumane punishment. We do not. We have a police state today, one step away from boots. We should have access to nature and the right to live in neighborhoods that are free from government or private forces that would deprive or limit access to clean water, clean utilities, and environmental pollution. And ultimately, the freedom from the forces that would deprive us of all the above. For example, forces of discrimination, including those forces who favor class division and division based upon race, sex, religion, disability, and any forces that restrict freedom of expression and assembly. That's your critical race theory, racist to the complete, and the idiots who believe in it. And that's also the woke culture, and that's identity politics in full force. Jim Crow with a smiling face. We should be free of the forces of authoritarianism that doesn't need to be central government, like in the executive branch. Also authoritarianism of agencies. We should be free of the CDC, the FBI, the CIA, etc. And we should be free of authoritarianism in private industries, the health insurance industry, the big pharma industry, Silicon Valley industry, tech firms, and the rights to information. We should have the right to accurate, reliable, objective, and uncompromised news and journalism. That is a fundamental human right. It is not a gift occasionally, once in a while, maybe never given by our government or any of its agencies or corporate America, incapable of being honest about anything. And yet we accept it. So what does that tell me about you when you accept this kind of belligerent attitude towards you and somehow say, I'm sorry, sir, may I have any information today that hasn't been filtered, objectified, weaponized, politicized? We can't give you that. We're the government. I see. We should not have collective stopgaps from violations of any of that I just mentioned. Informed decision-making, access to reliable information so we can make informed decisions about who to vote for, what policies to support, and how to engage in one's communities. Accountability. If a corporation has done anything with the intent to profit where they knew in advance there'd be harm, they should lose their charter and all those people should go to prison for life. I mean, the board of directors, all the managers, all of the account representatives, everybody who is in a position to know the truth should never again step foot in society. Well, that would mean we'd have no corporations left. Yeah, start from scratch. Transparency. There is no such thing as transparency in any media, in any governmental agencies. Why do we need it? To ensure public officials and private companies are acting in the public interest. They never do, ever. You can't show me an example of anyone in the Defense Department or Big Agra or the Energy Department or in Big Pharma or the medical industrial complex that's acting purely in the interest of you. So what does that tell me about you when you see all this in plain daylight? And diversity. Promote diversity in viewpoints and perspectives. That's where we need diversity, where we have multiple different opinions coming to the table and sharing their ideas with a hope that we can come to a better outcome. We may agree upon the cause of a problem. That does not mean we agree upon the solutions. I'd like your input. 888-874-4888. We're going to begin today, but we can't take the whole measure. This is about poverty. I have 9 clips to show you. Each clip represents a state of suffering by people who are not drug addicts, not alcoholics, don't have mental illness. They're just the people that we don't want to acknowledge are poor in America and on the streets, have no place to live and no support system. And one is a 97-year-old woman who was just evicted. Where's a 97-year-old supposed to go who has no resources? Where's the compassion? Where's the local councils? Where's this state representative? Where's the federal government? Where's anybody? Where's the media showing how this shouldn't happen and who is responsible? It doesn't exist in the mainstream because it would go against the fact that we're loving, we're compassionate, we're giving. No, you're not. If you were, then this wouldn't exist. And who said what happens when so-called people believe they're brave, stay silent in the face of adversity and crimes against humanity? Let's go to the clip, please. First clip.
Sarah is 97 years old and homeless for the first time in her life. How and why this has happened is bewildering. She's worked hard her whole life and is now understandably stressed and scared. Sarah needs a home.
At almost 100 years old, nobody deserves to be homeless. Sleeping on a makeshift bed and living out of a suitcase.
I need a bed who's a very good mattress.
But Sarah Mullet still puts her son before herself.
I told you before, no, because it's your room, Dad.
Sergio has taken his mum in at his tiny one-bedroom unit in the Sydney suburb of Glebe.
No, I want to have my house, my bedroom, my bedroom.
To be 97 and homeless, yes. Sarah,
yes.
That's terrible.
Ah, terrible, because I couldn't pay.
Terrible. I feel powerless.
Sarah travelled to South America to visit family in November 2019.
Given your age, that trip back home must have been precious.
For my family, of course. The most important, no?
When COVID hit, Australia's borders closed and Sarah couldn't get back.
She had a return ticket on, the 8th of April in 2020, and she got stuck because of the COVID.
When international travel finally recommenced 2 years later, Sarah struggled to get a direct flight.
There was a flight available through Doha, through the Middle East. That was a 40-hour flight. And it was, $7,000. And she couldn't do it anyway because of her frail age, you know?
Stranded overseas, the Australian government cut Sarah's aged pension in half because she'd been out of the country for so long. But they didn't reduce the rent on her community housing unit she'd lived in for almost 20 years.
It came to the point where she asked me, just give them the keys and relinquish the house because she couldn't afford it. She was getting $187 a fortnight. She couldn't even buy the food. I mean, you know, just barely eat.
The great-grandmother finally arrived back in Australia in July last year.
I pay more than $3,000 American.
For the last 8 months, Sara's had nowhere to live, left with no choice but to sleep on her son's couch.
What did your home mean to you, Sara?
My house was beautiful inside, beautiful.
For all the pride she took in her old home, we return with Sara and Sergio to find nobody living there and the place boarded up. Her neighbour Susan, the only comfort left.
Oh, Mama! Oh, I can't believe you came back.
When I waved goodbye to you all those years ago and I said I'll see you in 6 weeks.
Yes, you're beautiful.
And look what's happened to your beautiful
my
house
plants,
now.
My plants.
Oh, Mama. Yes. How old are you now? 95? 96. 97. 97. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And look at what's happened to her beautiful house now. It's all smashed in.
Susan says nobody's lived at Sara's old unit for more than a month.
Brand new floor that she paid, I don't know, $3,000 for it and whatever.
Yes.
All gone.
Yes.
All the security mesh and the locks that I put in there.
800 at the cost of loss.
It looks terrible now. Can you believe this is your home?
Because she couldn't afford it, she couldn't return to it, and now look at the way it's being treated or mistreated.
Right. And she hasn't got her home anymore.
We're told there are multiple vacant units in the Housing Commission block.
I mean, people go in jail and get to keep their place. So I don't understand the wait list.
Well aware of the housing crisis, Sergio isn't fighting for Sara to be given another place of her own. Instead, he's asking the department to consider their situation and grant them a two-bedroom unit they can share so he can continue to care for his mum. What eats at you the most?
And there's no happy outcome. It's the Australian government, one of the most corrupt, vile, totalitarian governments on the earth. And just ask people who didn't get COVID vaccinated and how they were taken, even though they were COVID negative, tested negative, and they were put into internment camps. And if they went out the little tiny cell, not much bigger than a prison cell, onto a porch, and you just see rows upon rows upon rows of all these people, and they can't go for a walk. If there's a line painted on the porch, if they step over the line, then automatically they're given more time, as if they have been convicted of a crime, and they're not, and some have spent months and months, and every time they're tested, they test negative, so they don't represent a threat to society, but they represent a threat for not adhering to the mandate to vaccinate, or your crime is one that could infect all of society. Not true, scientifically not true, but even now that we've shown all this, you still have in New York State, the most corrupt state in America, tied with California. But now they want to put internment camps in New York and be able to arrest you without warrant if you're not adhering to their health standards, even if you're completely healthy and have no disease. This is what we're living in. But will most people do anything? No. Will there be any demonstrations? No. Some people will leave the state, not because of the health mandates, because of the taxes and because of crime. So only when you're scared of living in an environment will you finally challenge the environment. Otherwise, it stays the same. Now, Sara's case is only one case. I have 9 other cases, including an entire retirement village, the entire village. They own their houses. I'm going to play that tomorrow. But they don't own the ground, the dirt under their house. They paid for their houses. All their houses are paid for. But the company came in, now they're buying up all these retirement facilities where the people have their homes, and they're charging them astronomical rents for the ground that the house sits on, and with terrible maintenance. And you see this in the film. And I want you to be able to watch these. You can go to PRN.live, click on shows, then click on all shows archives, and you'll see the Garen All Show notes, and that's where you watch these things in real time. Because you got to watch it to see how bad it is. And every single person in that village all paid for their homes, and now they're all being told, leave. Prices go up and new renters coming in, the person can charge whatever they want. It's all about money. It's all about greed. Okay, if it's about money and greed, what does the state do? What does local city council do? In New York, what did the council do? They abided by the real estate lobbyists who are putting money in all the different pockets at the state level, at the city level. So you go into New York and you have a problem with your landlord, there's about a 96% chance landlord's going to win, no matter what the merits. So we are a nation involved in working against people's interest, but lying and saying we're doing something for them. And we're not. Now, I'm going to show you tomorrow, I'm going to show you a group that is working. They have no mental condition, no addiction condition, but they're living in their cars. And they're living in their cars for the first time in their life. And one woman, 72, living in her car because the cost of where she was living was higher than her income. And so how do you survive? Where do you go to the bathroom? How do you go eat? You know, you can't cook anything. You got a car. And now some communities, especially in California, that surprised no one, the insensitivity out there. Now they're telling people, you can't park here. Why not? We all have RVs or, you know, we're doing no harm to anyone. Well, you can't because it blocks the view and we don't want the local people being adversely affected. I see. Okay. What does that tell us? You see, I'm interested in getting to the heart and the truth of all things, not stopping at some metaphor, stopping at some nice little statement. I want to see the truth. How did this happen? Who's responsible? What we're doing to change it or not? Watch it tomorrow. I've got seven others coming tomorrow. And then the next day I'm going to go in defense of school teachers. Teachers are quitting en masse. Why? You'll hear one teacher, African-American teacher in her mid-40s, talking about her 20 years of teaching, and now she can't take it anymore because the students are abusive. They're throwing desks across the room. They're smacking, slugging, beating teachers. And then if that's not good enough, they tell their teacher that my parents are going to come and they're just going to beat the S out of you. And they do. And guess who gets reprimanded? The teacher. They can't do anything with these unruly students. So, you know, the idea is if the students cannot be controlled and everyone knows it and you just have layer upon layer upon layer of worthless administrators in the equity division, then what exactly is the purpose of the educational institution when a child gets out? They're functionally illiterate. Yes. Well, then we'll make sure that they don't have to have any requirements to get into college. And how is that helping that person when they're given a degree they didn't earn, when they don't know any of the topics, and they're now supposed to fit into society? Well, there's a place in society that's not controlled by the woke generation, and those people are going to find a hard time getting work or acceptance, but it doesn't matter. The universities have acquiesced. Corporate America has acquiesced. The media has acquiesced. So it's up to you to say no to all of it, and I'll show you what teachers are doing. And you're going to hear from hundreds of teachers because they met together and they told their stories, and all of them were the same. We were beaten, we were abused, and our union, nobody came to our defense. Okay, how does that happen in such a short period of time? So that's on that topic. The next day I'm going to do finance, because surely people got to be aware there's a tsunami coming, and I don't want to see you get washed away in it. Got to say goodbye to our WBA audience. With the rest of you, will continue listening on PRN.live. So tomorrow's whole show, I'm not even going to do health and nutrition in the morning. The whole show is dedicated to how we got this homeless crisis. And they just want to show you, you know, the feces-laden streets of San Francisco. They're not showing you where 99% of the homelessness is in America. And I will. And what the solution should be to help these people. I will never give you a problem without the solution. But what happens when I give problems and solutions that are painful to hear, painful to watch? People want to turn away. They don't want to see this. They don't want to hear it. And then one day, it happens to them. And let me just tell you something. Let me tell you what I believe is going to happen to you. Those of you who have pensions, where do you think your pension money is invested? Who controls that? What happens when the other currencies of the Southeast Asia and going clear up through Africa and the Chinese belt are controlled by the Chinese and the Saudis and the Brazil and Argentina and all these other countries, now almost 40. And that will happen, I believe, within the next 12 months, maybe a little longer. But the day that you see in the paper that the BRICS Nations Collective, because it'll be a whole collective then, when they exceed the United States and Europe in gross domestic product, which they will, and in manufacturing goods, which they will, then the dollar will collapse. And everything, including your pensions, your 401k, your retirement funds are going to collapse with them. What are you going to do if you've just been playing golf and listening to golden oldie music that you remember from the 1950s and 60s? What's going to happen when one day you see you got wiped out or substantially reduced? Then maybe it's a little too late. I'm trying to give you a heads up. That said, let's just see if we have any calls. I'm happy to take your call. If you call in at 888-874-4888. And Dylan or Rodney or Kyle, tell me if we have someone on the line.
Gary, you have Deborah doing a testimonial.
Okay. One thing we are going to do, this is going to be very positive, and I'm going to make sure that I give all my insights to the future, best places to live, how to survive, how to get yourself healthy, how to overcome diseases, how to slow down the aging process. That is going to be one of the most important trips you can ever take in your life. And that's going to be from the 14th of May, only a month away, to the 27th. Two groups are going to be there, the anti-aging group. And by the way, good news and really good news, the foundation that gave us the protocols for the blood workup, what we have to show we actually made objective changes that can impact science, they agreed on Friday to pay for all of the supplements for 3 months and all the blood workup, three separate blood workups that you're going to be taking. That saves over $1,000. So that reduces overall expenditures and costs by $1,000, which is terrific. And so it's going to be a time to change your life, because then you're going to ask, when else will I find out what I should change? After a tsunami has hit or before? We have Deborah on the line, and Deborah was at a retreat. Hi, Deborah.
Hey, hi, Gary. Nice to speak with you.
Tell us about your experience.
Yes. Hi, Gary. My husband and I had an opportunity to attend one of your retreats, and it was absolutely the best decision we ever made. And of course, for anyone who's listening, it's highly recommended. When we arrived, we were transported into a magnificent location. It's beautiful, it's peaceful, it's calming. We immediately relaxed and were in a receptive mode for all the energy work and healing. It's amazing because there's exercise for whatever level you're at. You can stay the same or bump yourself up. There are wonderful lectures, programs, meditation. The food is fabulous. The staff, I can't say enough about them. They're wonderful. And one of the many, many high points is that you get to meet Luann, which is great. It was incredibly hard to leave, but when we did, we walked away with tools that we still use today. So it's improved our lives, and it's really now it's all about wellness-driven. It's really worth experiencing for yourself to anyone who's out there. If you have the time, go. If you don't have the time, try to make it. It's something that you don't want to miss. It's a total immersion in healing, health, and beauty with like-minded people interested in getting better regardless of where you are in your journey. It's really an experience for everyone. I hope people take advantage of it. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Deborah. But before people take advantage of it, almost always this will happen. This actually happened yesterday when I'm talking with someone I've known for 35 years about to positively change doing an anti-aging protocol. And instead of saying, wow, Gary, that's really good, I'd like to do that, gave me every excuse. Well, I got this responsibility and that responsibility, and I got this and that and the other. I says, okay, on a chart, make a list of all your responsibilities to yourself each day. What do you need to do to keep healthy, prevent disease, expand your awareness and consciousness, and to take time for what's important at the vital level of your own existence? Now, on the other hand, give me a list of your responsibilities. All the things you say are important, these emergencies and dramas and crisis, and put the two together side by side. Now, ask yourself this. If you change, your energy shifts, the dominant energies on healing, prevention, expansion, freedom, a whole new you repurpose. On the other side, you can do all these responsibilities and you will not have changed at all. So if a doctor said to you, you only have 3 months to live, I'm sorry, but you got a terminal condition that can't be helped, but you got about 3 months, that person that I just spoke to yesterday would say, okay, and I got a lot of things I got to get done in that 3 months. I got to pay this bill. I got to pay that. I got to do this, that, and the other. Nowhere in that will be any time or energy for themselves. So it's not enough to have an opportunity. It's enough to believe that you deserve the opportunity. Because if you don't believe you deserve it, you will always take the lower road, which is, well, I got this and that and the other. And what if you were to die tomorrow? Would life still go on? Yes. Would people care? Some who care about you, but then that's forgotten. They got to go on. Everybody's got to go on with their own life. You'll be a memory. So what in the hell are we doing living meaningless lives of repetition instead of doing what we essentially need to do? Because most of you listening right now, you don't have to be anywhere the rest of your life. You've learned how to survive. So then why not make your life exciting again, revitalize again, energized again, creative again, passionate again? Why not wipe clean the image of what it is to get older, 40, 50, 60, 70? And by the way, in the new study, I'm allowing 40, 50, 60s in as well as 70s, because part of the scientists who are in this consortium that I'm working with said that I want you to have people in there who are generally highly motivated to see who's most motivated to stick with the protocol, the older over 70 or the younger. So it's just one of the things we're doing. And if my experience is any way of understanding this, the younger people are far more motivated. Older people just lose their motivation. Even when it's in their interest, they lose it. They don't want to get out of their comfort zone. So you want to be the person who gets out of your comfort zone and reverses your aging and reverses disease and gains happiness, then give Luann a call. 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008. That's for the anti-aging. We only have two spots left, and then we're full. No more. And remember, your blood work up and all your supplements, and you haven't used these supplements before. These are very special anti-aging supplements. Those are all going to be paid for by a foundation. You don't have to pay for that. For those of you who just want to come, like Deborah and her husband, and change your life, change your perception, open yourself up, cleanse out the old debris, bring in new knowledge, new wisdom, new insights, do as little or as much as you want, hang out in the butterfly hut with the butterflies, hang out with Luann and her wonderful lectures and empowerment and her empowerment counseling, come to the lectures I'm going to be doing throughout the day, doing the exercise with all the different athletes we have. Give her a call. There's room for two people. That's it, two people. You can come for 1 or 2 weeks, May 14th to 27th. Call Luann at that number, 903-881-7008. Thank you all. Time for now, U-Trees Lead.